Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hold on. Thank God I can cut this up. Okay, here we go. All right, guys. Today here at 411business.net, we have a real estate, commercial real estate guru, Mike Owen with offmarketworld.com. Mike, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, sis? You good?
I'm absolutely fabulous. Thanks for asking. So tell us about Off Market World.
Well, the concept is basically originated, it was originated by accident because I had a client that approached me and said, hey, Mike, you know, you're in the event space, you know everybody, why don't you do commercial real estate? And I was like, well, you know, that's not really my thing. And then he showed me a check as to what he was making. And I went, you know what? I could probably make some room for that. I got my real estate license, fell in love with real estate, but not so much the residential side. I actually went on one residential appointment with my mom, who was a realtor, residential realtor at the time. And I absolutely hated it. I pitched the guy. It was exactly what he was looking for. And he said, no. And I went, I can't do this. On the commercial side, it's a little bit non-emotional or less emotional, I should say, because a lot of the deals are investor-based. So they've already logically and you know, they've processed what they want. So you get them the deal that they want, and it's easy for them to make a decision. Where on the residential side, it's a little bit more emotional and ethereal, and I just didn't want to deal with that. So I got involved about nine years ago. And, you know, mostly I focus on land or multifam deals, some retail, but those three areas under 20 million. So I'm really, small potatoes compared to some of the bigger guys. But there's a niche of off market, which I just do really private deals.
Okay, so that's what you're looking for. Your niche is the off market.
My headset just dropped. So, hang on. Let me take it off.
Just pause.
I'll be able to hear you. My headset just fell.
Okay.
How about now?
I can still hear you. Do you need to get your headset?
Yeah, no, I got it. It's dropped on the floor somewhere. I'll look for it afterwards. Good thing you can chop this up. It fell somewhere.
We make it work. This is a yes for yes world, so.
Yeah, but you hear me clearly, right?
I hear you perfectly fine, yeah. It didn't make a difference. Yeah. So, okay, you tell me, is there specific areas that you're looking for property in for off-market, or do you do all over?
So, well, I guess I'll start off by saying, what's the difference with off market as opposed to just like, you know, listed properties? So in commercial real estate, well, residential, you have the MLS typically, and then some other lesser publicly listed websites. In commercial real estate, you have LoopNet and CoStar, which are the main ones. And then you have some other what we call tier two type platforms, Crexy and a few others that provide access to properties. What I do is I focus on off market, which means I just deal with investors who are seeking properties privately. Now, the question, one person asked me, well, that's harder. Why would you do that? Well, two reasons. One, the private client is I think better, and it's less competition. So if you post a project, say publicly, you're selling a multifam, you're going to get 100 phone calls. 98% of them can't do anything. So what's happening with a lot of agents, they get frustrated because they're getting a lot of tire kickers that are calling, genuinely interested, but maybe when they, you know, one thing's off or another thing's off, you could spend so much time with the 98% how do you know where the 2% is? So in off-market commercial real estate, you're only marketing to those that you've given maybe a teaser to, and then they say they're interested. So you can pre-qualify them a little bit before you
you know, get into a more involved conversation with them. I don't have the time to take 100 phone calls. So that's why I don't do listed. I just, nor do I want to. But some people, you know, they want to do that. They want to go through the process. For me, it's harder, but it's a little bit more focused with off market. And the clients can be kept privately. And I'm going to give you another example. If you're selling a hotel, right? Do you publicly want your employees to know that you're selling the hotel?
No,
because immediately they're going to be fearful of their jobs or, you know, am I going to be here next week? So one of the reasons that off market or private real estate is adhered to in the commercial space is to provide some anonymity for the seller as well, so that they may be doing what we call a hush-hush sale. They just don't want everybody to know that they're selling the property, you know. Some of them, it's an emergency. They could be health reasons. They could just be, look, I'm exhausted. I want to do something else. But you don't want to alert your employees into thinking that you don't want to take care of them, unfortunately. So that's another reason to go off market or private if you're selling.
And again, is that private, I mean, is that off market that you're looking for, is that only Florida or is that multiple states?
Well, I'm licensed in the state of Florida. So I typically spend, again, using that 90-something percent, I'd say 95% of my time I'm focused on Florida. There's so much property here and so much opportunity, and something in Orlando could be a very similar asset as an asset here in Miami, and it'll be two or three times cheaper, you know, because of where it is, or maybe the area is just not as, we call it density, how many people live in a specific area. There may not be as much density there. But typically speaking, each city provides a different opportunity, so you don't really need to leave the state of Florida to have enough opportunity.
Amen
for me.
To that.
Yeah.
Amen to that. There is so much. This is the land of the beauty. I mean, this place has everything. Why anyone would want to leave here, it's just, I don't have no clue.
So. Each to his own, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. So, okay, so now we know. So as far as you're looking for with the off markets, are you looking for marinas? Are you looking for hotels? Are you open? Do you have a sweet spot?
Good question. The last few, in the beginning, I was more open to what we call a general agent, where I'm selling multifam, mixed use, which is commercial on the bottom and residential on the top, land, retail, across the board. What you want to do to be successful is to pick one or two areas at the most. Even if there's a third, it's almost because of a request. So multifam and land are the most focused areas for my partners and I. We do have another partner that does hotels. I don't do hotels, but I'll partner with them. And in the state of Florida, you are allowed to get a piece of the deal once you're licensed as a referral partner, you know, a referral agent. So you can structure it however agreement you want. So I typically have my eyes and ears open for everything, but I only focus on one or two areas myself. And then that way you're not a jack of all trades, so to speak, because selling a hotel is a whole different animal than selling, say, an office building or selling a multifam building. You know, three similar structures, but the approach is different. For instance, if you're selling an office building, that's what we call medical office buildings, which is typically doctors or people that are medically inclined. Those doctors typically never leave. They stay there in perpetuity. Usually they stay right to the end of their practice, and maybe they're 20, 25 years or whatever. And so you have, that's what's called that more than likely will be what's called a stabilized asset. It's not really going to fluctuate too much. The doctors will sign 10-year leases, 20-year terms, whatever, five to 10-year leases, I should say. And so now you have a stable asset where you know they're going to be paying their bills on time. They're going to be consistent. So even though the value of the property goes up, you you may not need, you won't have a lot of moving parts with something like that. Whereas a multifam, you may have easily, if you have 50 units, maybe 10 of the units are not working or there's an issue. And so you may have a little bit more opportunity to raise rents because the market demands that in for the multifam space. Maybe somebody built some other high level properties that are close by that, which will bring the value of that multifam up. So you've got to increase rents. So there's more chaos on the multifam side, which means apartment buildings, than there would be on, say, an office building that's a medical office building that's near a hospital that's guaranteeing those doctors continuous. So there's just so many moving parts, Joe, that you have to focus on just one or two areas, I would say, at most in selling commercial real estate.
That makes sense. So, and again, your part that you like is what?
The multifam, apartment buildings and land. On the development side, there's a lot of developers looking for quality product right now. And so, you know, I spend a lot of time, the time that I do have, because I have a couple other businesses, the time that I have on the off-market side, I spend canvassing property for my investment groups that are seeking. So I try to be on the buy side, is what we call it, as much as possible. And I'm looking for opportunities for them because then they're ready to buy. It's just you got to spend as much time as you can finding the right property, finding a match for them, so to speak. Okay. So not easy. It's 98% failure and just 2% success rate. So but that 2% pays you well enough that you hang in there and it's worth it.
That's really good to know. And do you guys work with marinas at all?
No, it would be if someone had a request, I would reach out to friends of mine that are in that space. But directly, I wouldn't. Again, it's a skill set you need to have. It's not something you just jump in and say. And a lot of inexperienced agents, unfortunately, they jump at, instead of just saying, I don't do it, but let me see if I can make a couple phone calls. They say, yeah, we can take care of that. And then you see, if you're not proficient at anything, it's not worth doing. It's worth referring, but not actually doing. And so, you know, I say no, as I said, I'm saying no a lot. I only focused, I stay in my lane. I don't think you can be truly successful if you're dancing too much. Even though you have multiple businesses, each business I have a lane that I play and I don't get out of that lane. Everything else is, I would say 90% of my business is referred out.
I love it. Well, it's how you multitask, you know,
100%.
If there is a good thing, right? Because now that we're learning that multitasking is bad for your brain, we can just time management and call time blocking, which is just hiring the correct people for the correct job, right? So we stay in our lane, we do what we do, and then anything outside of that, we hire a company for that, which is really good.
Actually, Joanna, I actually have a system that I would say I've always lived by, but I've never articulated it. If you spend every year finding 100 people, you're meeting them. So it's not hard to actually do. And that, and you designate those people as your referral partners, all you need from them is them to send you either one lead or one client, however you want to designate that. In commercial real estate, you're probably not going to get a client, but you'll get a lead. If each of them sends one lead, I know I'm closing 2 to 5 leads out of that 100 for the year. So if your commission is a couple $100,000, you know, or say $50,000 to a couple $100,000, you can just do the math. The misconception is that you have to be out there pounding the pavement. I think in anything, if you find 100 partners over the course of a year that can send you one lead, one prospect, one suspect, whatever it is in your deal flow, and you're not closing from that, then the problem is it's probably you. You should probably not be doing that thing. So, ta-da.
You're the problem. Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Newsflash.
You got it or you don't. So, right?
Absolutely.
So.
If you're not closing, time for a new career path.
You got 100 leads and you can't close one. You know, it's not good. But what you'll notice is, there's going to be probably 30% closable opportunities. Not they won't close, but they're closable. And then from that, there'll be another, you know, maybe 3 to 5 that you can actually close. That, like, there's enough movement that with a little bit of luck and a little bit of gumption and you know, stick-to-itiveness with the project, you'll be able to close. But the what people are – where they're failing is they're spending time on properties and deals that they'll never close. Instead of just saying no and walking off of the project after a week or 10 days, they persist thinking that 3 months later they're going to get it. The activity that starts in the beginning will continue to follow you in the end. So if it starts off rocky and, you know, someone's not calling you back or you ask for information, say, on a particular project, and they've not given that to you, what's likely to change with their behavior, Joe? So it's not going to change. So what I've learned to do over the last couple of years, no needs to be your favorite word, not yes. It's actually no.
That is so true. I'm learning that.
Ta-da.
I always say yes to everybody, but it's like, no. It really is actually very true, very accurate.
The secrets of the zoo, you know. You know, the lions don't mix with the foxes. The foxes don't mix with the wolves. They look alike, but they don't. They're not. So we are mixing all these different animals in cages together and wondering why it's not working out. And it's the same thing in business, is we spend so much time mixing foxes and seals and lions and penguins, and you go, well, they're part of the animal kingdom. Why isn't it happening? And so, in other words, if you ask someone, if you tell someone how to deal with you in business and they're just not responding that way, then what's the likelihood of it working for you if there's a protocol that they're not following? And I find that commercial real estate, we have too many residential agents, quite frankly, involved in commercial, and it means they're not focused. They're just doing commercial, and sometimes I'm a residential agent, and what happens is when you really need to know a specific thing about that project and the client sees that you're not knowledgeable because you haven't put time into it, they just walk away from you. And so it's, you end up losing anyway. So, you know, I've learned focus on people that are focused, and therein lies the opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, scams are such a big thing too, right? So if I call a company and I'm paying you or going to pay you to do a job and I have a question and I'm looking for an expert, clearly I don't want to do business with you if you're not the expert, right? And so that's why I believe in exactly what you're saying, you know, making sure that whatever lane you're in, you're proficient at it, you know. And if not, you simply say, hey, well, I don't, but I can do get someone to do that.
So many times too, Joe, we talk about being an expert at knowing what to do. I think it's equally proficient to be an expert at knowing what you don't want to do because or what you shouldn't do. Because you got so many people, they're saying yes to everything. And then we go, well, what are you really good at? And then you find out they're only good at that one thing. Why'd you say yes to the four things? Now, if you said to me, hey, look, I'm good at this one thing, but I have partners that are great at this one thing. I've got partners that are great at the other three. Let me introduce you. You can still get paid as a referral partner, but, you know, we tell people yes to everything. And then when you can't do it, your reputation and name is. So I always ask people, tell me the thing you're great at. I only want to talk about that. And if it's not a fit, it's okay. But I only want to deal with the thing that you're great at. And if you're not great at anything, then you're not going to be great for my clients. And that's the way I.
If you're not great, I can't make you great.
No. Greatness is not, unfortunately, you can't buy them on the shelf at the dollar store. You know, it just doesn't exist. How come this hamburger doesn't taste great? Look at where you bought it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I would totally 100% agree to that.
I think life is simpler than we make it, sis. It just, you know, we're just making stuff up most of the time. But the ability to say no is really underappreciated. You literally have to say no to most people, because if you think about it, they're not experts at anything. So they're saying no, yes to you, and then you don't know what you're getting into half the time, and it ends up being like almost like a current on the water. In some instances, just like a current can suck you under and kill you, some of this can kill your business. So knowing what not to say yes to is as important as knowing what to say yes to, I believe, in business, especially in commercial real estate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I love it. There you have it. Mike Owen with Off Market World.
Here's my headset.
You found it.
I was sitting here
you
all along.
Your headset.
It fell off. It landed right here. Ta-da. I love
That's
it.
Probably why we, I mean, I never skipped a beat. I mean, it was great.
That isn't that right, an alliteration for life? Things happen. We keep rolling.
We just make it work. I told you, we live in a yes or yes reality.
And that's the 411 on business today.
I love
How
it.
How do you like that transition?
That was great.
This is almost like just two friends talking and having fun. I mean, I'm so excited about the 411 business show that you have, and I know this is going to be successful.